Thank you, John. I have a question about pleasure. I find I do need some pleasures, even though they don't last. Things like fine arts and being in nature. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, how did you manage as a monk in your early years at Ajahn Chah's monastery, where there's almost no pleasure? You had poor food, and you had to get up early in the morning. You had to work very hard all day long. Mm-hmm. There's no music, no entertainment, really nothing that as lay people would consider pleasure. How did you manage and just keep going over the years until the present?
Well, that's a really important question because, you know, there's... it is essential that we experience pleasure, that we experience happiness. And the Buddha is not actually against it. You know, the whole point of freedom from suffering is so that one can be experience something that we're actually hardwired to be drawn to. We're drawn to pleasure. It feels a lot better than suffering. So that for myself, just the pleasure of simplicity, the pleasure of being in nature, the pleasure of being around virtuous beings who are incredible examples for the world, the pleasure of seeing goodness in other human beings. I mean, that's one of the extraordinary perks of being a monk is that everybody tries to be good around you. it's really pleasurable to see the goodness of the human beings, the human condition. Those aren't the same pleasures of gratification and entertainment, but they're very real pleasure, and it's important to say, like for myself or for any monastic, in order to stick with it, to stay with it, that they do find it pleasurable. It's obvious that there are difficulties, and not being used to austerity or having to face the frustrations of having a mind that doesn't comply with our wishes. But to be able to pay attention to ways of how to experience pleasure, happiness, and that's it's actually like in reading the suttas. That's a really important turning point for the Buddha, for the Bodhisattva, in his quest for enlightenment. And there's a discourse in the Majjhima Nikaya where the Buddha is recounting his experience of this austerity and extreme ascetic practices and basically how miserable he was. And then coming to a point where he sitting quietly, the mind being peaceful at some point, and then remembering the happiness and pleasure that he felt as a young boy sitting in meditation under the rose apple tree. And it's a very well-known story in Buddhism, But it's interesting how the Buddha reflects on it in that sense. Because he poses a question. There's this, you know, because he remembers this happiness. And then he's thinking, why am I afraid of that happiness? Why am I afraid of that happiness? That happiness is utterly wholesome and not censurable by the wise. You know, why am I afraid of it? Maybe that's part of the path. And then he has this insight, you know, and kind of excitement. It is the path. And that's where he relinquished his austerities, extreme austerities, and then started eating again. But that quality of pleasure that comes from a relinquishing of the hindrances. You know, and it's interesting when you when the Buddha describes the developing of meditation, describing the different types of pleasure and well-being, delight that the mind experiences in relinquishing the hindrances, and then the first jhana is based on the pleasure born of seclusion. So that when we experience pleasure in seclusion, solitude, not being overly stimulated and engaged with things, there's a pleasure there. Or the second jhana is pleasure born of unification of the mind. When the mind and the heart really unify and aren't at odds with each other internally, it's incredible pleasure arises. Or the Buddha talks of the pleasure and happiness that arises living within the bounds of virtue. And it's that the pleasure of blamelessness, like the happiness of blamelessness and non-remorse, is being able to live in that way. You know, and certainly for myself, that's as a monk, and yeah, I can look back on 40 years of living in a way where, yeah, I don't have to feel remorseful or regret about anything. Yeah, that's, and oftentimes we don't really think of how those things can be pleasurable. But it is. It's a very important basis of happiness. And of course the happiness of just seeing and having that conviction of, wow, that's really the way things are. This is true. So that wisdom and discernment that sees and says, well, that's really the true nature of things. And it's a tremendous source of happiness.